Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Dolphins fans, to another episode of On the Fin Side. We're here sitting down with Dolphins punter and one of the top punters of all time, Thomas Morstead, yet again. Thomas, welcome back to the show. We appreciate having you on, you making the time today.
Yeah, glad to be here, Paul.
I know I said this to you already, but your view beats mine, I'm telling you, with the ocean out behind you.
I would have retired if my wife had said it's time to be done. And so when she said, yeah, look, the kids want you to keep going and you want to keep going, let's do it. Wanted to make sure we, you know, got a good spot for them when they're in town visiting so we can have some good times together. So.
Absolutely, man. And so I got to ask, first and foremost, Dolphins got off to a really hot start. We're number one in a lot of power rankings out there at 3-0. Knocked off the Patriots, Ravens, and Bills before the injury bug hit. How is the general feeling in the locker room with everything going on right now?
I would say, look, I think we've got, I know people kind of perceive us as a young team, but we've got a lot of veterans that have been around the block. It's just you can't get too high or too low depending on how things are going. You just got to focus. You have to be process oriented and just focus on what you can control. And every week is continue to learn, continue to figure out ways to grow and prepare better. And really it's about looking yourself in the mirror, especially after losses, and, you know, trying to figure out what you could have done better as an individual. And hopefully if everybody's doing that, the adversities that you experience early in the year or at any point of the year can be if you have the right mindset, they can kind of turn into a long-term gain as far as getting things corrected and continuing to improve.
So talking about corrections, something that actually is the hot button topic in the media, it started with a feeling with the Dolphins, which the Dolphins have been exonerated from, which was something that I know we were all happy to see. The NFL implemented new concussion protocols this past weekend, and there was no more shining example of the reactive protocols, as far as that goes, than with Teddy Bridgewater on the first play of the game for you guys this weekend. Any thoughts on where the concussion protocols should lie? From a general consensus amongst players. I know it is a huge issue, one that's near and dear to everybody that's a big fan of football, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to get too far down the rabbit hole in my opinion of what happened this weekend, but we're certainly the team that's been under scrutiny for what happened with Tua and, the new protocols, which I think are good changes, were implemented this weekend. And, look, I'm not the expert, so I don't get to make the decision of what was seen by the independent neurologist that says it doesn't matter how you do on your concussion testing, like you got up too slow or whatever the reasoning was. I do think, if you just look at it as an individual event, it's tough to see how he got pulled out, in my opinion, but I don't get to make that call. Coach doesn't get to make that call. The player doesn't get to make the call. And so it's just kind of it's unfortunate for the team. It was unfortunate really for Teddy. He was going to get a chance to, prepare all week and get the reps as the starter and get knocked out. First play was, just really unfortunate. I think everybody's hurting for him. And so, I think at the end of the day, what it takes to run this protocol is the person that's making the decision has to be, you know, has to be convicted and kind of have some balls, regardless of which way they make the decision of just doing what they know is the right thing to do, regardless of outside pressure, regardless of what happened before, or what they fear could happen. After it, just, you know, you just have to have somebody that's going to have conviction and do what they think medically is the right thing to do, regardless of any of the other outside noise, and finding that person, especially in the short term, right after what happened. I think, you know, there has to be a piece of that that would be human nature for anybody. So, all I know is, you know, I don't know much about the specifics, and I wouldn't share it regardless, but, you know, it just is what it is. And it was unfortunate for the team. That's all I got to say about it, I guess.
No, and I appreciate the candidness on that. It's something that I know is a hot button issue right now. And speaking of hot button issues, I do want to put you on the spot with another one. Congratulations on the NFL removing the butt punt as an officially counted statistic for you this season, because I know you were on track for statistically your best season, and that derailed you as far as the statistics go. So talk to me about the butt punt. I mean, I could ask 20 different questions on it, but talk to me about that one.
It was in the moment an unfortunate play, and I think I just want to make sure you said that correctly. So they actually came back and said they counted it against my stats. So it was
They corrected it.
No, they corrected it in the negative version. I guess it depends how you think about it, because, you know, on the one hand, it doesn't count as a blocked punt, which, you know, I've kind of had this, not that it matters, but I kind of had this streak going of, it's been 11 years since my last blocked punt and only blocked punt. So that still stays kind of unblemished from there. They came back and corrected it as a in the negative on my gross and net, which is just, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. My buddy Pat McAfee was messaging me the other day. He said, who gives a shit about the stats? You know, as long as you're bombing and making the plays you need to make, it is what it is. And he's absolutely right. It was an unfortunate play in the moment. And, you know, it was a learning experience for everybody involved. And I think we were very fortunate that the ball landed out of bounds at the back of the end zone. We still had a chance to go kind of, you know, gain some field position after and try to make a difference, you know, because we needed every yard at the end of the game.
Absolutely. Now, have you ever had anything like that happen before?
No, like I said, I've only had one block before, and it was against the Rams back in 2011. I think it was first rounder Robert Quinn was playing on the punt return team, and, you know, guy gets drafted to get on the edge of guys and was singled against a safety that we had named John Amaya. It was just tough sledding for him. And they weren't even in a block. They were in six box with our eight. And it was just kind of a fluky deal that happened. That was a pretty wild series of events. So hopefully we don't have to have that happen again.
No, and I did see that Charmin reached out to Sherfield to send him a DM and say, let's talk. So good on
you. Yeah, he was out there on the social media landscape, you know, I guess striking while the iron was hot on a few opportunities. So, I think it's a little easier as long as you learn from things. It's a little easier to kind of poke fun at yourself when the team ends up getting the win. Certainly it's not like you can hide from the fact that it happened. So, you know, some people cry, some people laugh, some people get mad. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think everybody was just glad we got the win. And it was obviously a huge win for us against the Bills.
And then looking at your stats, I mean, we're five games into the year. You've already got seven punts inside the 20 for the season. And it looks like you're on pace to potentially have a career high as far as punts landing inside the 20 to go with, butt punt aside, one of your best averages of your career. Man, how do you do it after this many years? That's just how do you like, I'm throwing that one to you.
Look, I feel like I'm, you know, I got hurt a few years ago and had a tumultuous kind of getting back on track. And it just, you know, sometimes when you're, you know, it's kind of like somebody having a career change, in the middle of their life. And it's the injury kind of, it dictated that I needed to try something new and start training a little differently. And I still have some core things that I've stayed with, but, I kind of jumped off the ledge with doing some different stuff. And it's really paid a lot of dividends. And just like anything in life, implementing that plan now over the past year and a half and the just discipline consistency with it is, it's not like I've taken huge strides. It's just baby steps every day to improvement. And it's been really gratifying to get back to where I'm at physically and feeling like, you know, I can compete with anybody on game day. So, you know, it's exciting. And most importantly, it's just fun to like be in moments where the team needs you and you got to bring it. And you know, it's just exciting to have the confidence where, you know, you can get it done. So I'm enjoying it for sure.
Good. And you mentioned Pat McAfee. So I've got to bring this up here. Because I know some of the highlights of watching him play were him flying down the field, making a tackle after a kick. You are also currently on pace potentially to have a career high in tackles as you here at one after five games.
I hope that doesn't change the rest of the season. If I'm making tackles, it is not good. I don't think I've had a registered tackle because I don't kick off anymore. I mean, that was on the punt after safety, but, I don't think I've had a registered tackle since like 2017 or so. So hopefully we'll go another 5 years without another tackle.
Actually, it is 2016 was the last time you had a registered tackle.
Yeah, that's good. That means we're, you know, that means hopefully we're putting the ball in the corner with good hang time and the team's covering well. If I'm not having any opportunities. So that's a great thing.
I'm with you on that, man. It's, we want to see you stay healthy and bombing the ball the rest of the way. Now coming up, I know you're like a machine. You mechanically try to do the same things every time with as few break points, being an engineer. And looking at things, do you ever change up your approach when it comes to the return man? I know you've got Jalen Reagor, who's doing okay for the Vikings coming up this weekend. But is there any returner out there that you kind of prepared differently for?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Look, I think there's definitely different points of emphasis every week, you know, not only how you'd like to play the guy, but like what can't you do? Like what's going to get you beat? And so those are different every week. And it's not just a returner. It's get a lot of return looks, or you get a lot of pressure looks, and that could change your mechanics and your awareness of how quickly you need to get the ball off. they're all micro, like little things, but yeah, I mean, there's a balance to it though, right? At the end of the day, I always like to kind of say like, hey, we get paid too, you know? And I know that if Blake is at his best and I'm at my best, the play can be over before it starts.
Yep.
And so I like to try to think about that as far as my confidence level and what I'm trying to do. You know, instead of thinking, you know, don't hit it in the water, right? When you're golfing, like I'm going to try to hit it right over there. And so think about what you do want to do and not what you don't. So, but yeah, there's little nuances, little things that you do differently. Some guys are, you know, have really top end speed. Some guys are really quick out of the catch. Some guys like to go east west before they go north south. Some guys go north south before east west. So all those things are things you look at and you try to prepare for and give yourself the best chance. But again, going back, I kind of just, you know, once the ball leaves my foot, the wind, whatever else could be out there, it's kind of like you just have to you got to kind of release the pressure on yourself as far as some of those things go, and you just control what you can control.
So it's funny listening to you phrase that and knowing a lot of the viewers for our channel. I know a lot of us out there and you're a father yourself, have kids involved in youth sports and in particular in football, and listening to you talk about controlling the things you can control and, you know, doing things the right way and just doing basically, you made me think of something an old coach said to me about, you know, just go out and play your game. And that's a little bit of what I got as a feel there from what you were saying. What advice would you have for, you know, and this is a little bit selfish as a guy that coaches the little guys, but what advice would you have out there for some of these young kids playing as far as how to be better, how to do better, how to be consistent and things along those lines? I'll stop loading the question there.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think we can all agree that sports are the like one of the best things kids can do. You learn so much, so many valuable life lessons. I think one area that I personally think is lacking is I don't think there's a ton of creativity in sports because everything starts so early and there's so much structure to everything. And you don't see a lot of like outliers with techniques and forms now, whether especially a lot of like, you know, any sort of specialist, it could be a pitcher or it could be a kicker, a punter, it could be quarterback, how a guy throws, you know, but like some of the things have become so structured. And I think if you really want your kid to like excel, you got to just let them play, like let them have fun, let them play. And if your kid develops a love for the game or the sport that they're playing, they will learn all of those lessons on that journey because they're going to persist because they love it. And I really am grateful to my dad. He was a pro cyclist and he never once pushed me into cycling. I'm sure he would have loved if I would have, you know, taken that up with him. And I did here and there a little bits of time, but I always kind of went back to my sports that I loved. And he really just allowed me to develop the love for the sports that I loved and supported me in that. And then, I think you don't see that as much probably. It doesn't feel as pure. And, so I just, you know, I was joking about like my kids are playing soccer and, you know, we've got great coach for the team and they do a really nice job. And one of the things I love is that they let the kids just play for a good chunk of practice. Just let them be, let them play the game. You don't have to structure and organize everything. Just let them play, let them learn. And that's how you learn the best when there's no, it's like painting or doing some art, you know, just go out and, you know, and see how you develop. And I think that's hard because when you want to control your kid's direction, not to help them with good intentions, you want to control that. But sometimes when you have that grip real tight, it's hard to just let them just be. And I know that's a balance for every parent in a lot of areas, but just let them have fun. Let them learn to love the game. And once they learn to love the game, then you can start hammering down really aggressively on how to get better, because they'll be asking, you won't be telling them.
Yeah, no, it's I love that answer. As somebody that works with a lot of kids and things like that, you see far too many parents these days, and it's not for me to judge, that, you know, I have a 6-year-old that's playing one single sport year round, and the days they don't have practice, they're training for that sport because they're you know, it's mind blowing to me. So the fact that you mentioned fun is awesome in my opinion. So
yeah, and look, my kids are starting to get a little bit of pressure about, you know, getting singular with sports, and I don't know, we'll see, the proof will be in the pudding, but I am avoiding full-time year-round stuff as long as I possibly can. Tell my kids get mad at me saying, Dad, why won't you let me do this? I'm gonna hold off on that as long as possible, and just make sure they get to experience different teams, different sports, different times of the year, and keep things fresh. And at some point, hopefully they'll be passionate about something enough, whether it's sports or anything else, to, you know, be telling me what they want to do. You know?
Well, so. It's you're kind of in the same boat as me, although I've actually barred my kid from year round sport. Like once
there you
sport.
Go.
It's now you need to experience life and try to have some fun doing it. So
yeah.
You know, avoid it as long as you can, man. Avoid it.
I'm trying.
Now, speaking of sports and teachers and fun, you have a very unique head coach and coaching staff. And I know he's had to come under some scrutiny. We talked about it a little bit when you first signed with the team. Give us a look into Mike McDaniel and the coaching staff here 5 weeks into his first NFL season.
You got anything more specific than that?
I know you've been around the NFL for a little while here, we'll go with, and I know you've been through a few coaching staffs and things of that nature. So I'm curious, just we see a lot of Mike McDaniel. He seems like a fun guy. Seems like a guy that, you know, players would love to play for. But I'm curious about the experience of playing for him now that we've hit the regular season and the stresses of the NFL season are there.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes fun gets thrown out fun can get thrown out when you're winning as like, wow, this is the best. And sometimes when you say a coach seems to be fun, if you got a few losses under you, it could be like, oh, is it too loose? And that's the energy I think people get that I feel when people ask about that. And look, I think what's most important, he's authentic. He's himself. I think he is very, I think he's got a balanced approach, right? He's not a guy that's just going to dog cuss somebody and never give encouragement. And he's also not the guy that's only full of positive and going to never coach you up or get onto you. And so, you know, I just think the best word I'd say is fair. Okay. He's fair. He holds everybody accountable in front of the team, good, bad, and ugly, and we all get to see that. And I think it's you know, it's a nice thing, because it's you know, nobody's immune to coaching, and I think that goes for everybody in the building, not just players, you know, coaches and all that. And that's the vibe I get, and that's exciting. You know, everybody's in the same boat together. And, you know, I haven't noticed anything different about him, whether we've won or lost. I think he's almost robot-like in his process-oriented nature. And I think he's very deliberate about how process-oriented he is. And I think he's very deliberate about just constantly being, okay, how can we get better? How can we learn? How can we progress? Because, you know, we're all the teams in the NFL are really just in a race to get better. Yep. They're just racing each other, right? Some boats are at the front, some are at the back, at least record wise. But, you know, sometimes teams put things together at different times and everything all of a sudden clicks late. You just never know.
Yeah.
But all I know is you got to kind of keep pounding the rock day in, day out, week in, week out, to give yourself a chance at the end. And I think we've been very process oriented, and hopefully we can continue to grow.
Now, one thing I've heard about Mike McDaniel and his coaching style is he always finds unique approaches to things. Like whether it's, I forget the name of the wide receiver off the top of my head, but where they were talking about getting off a jam, and he brought up the way, and it's funny because you mentioned the too mechanical, not creative enough. And it was mentioned that Mike had worked with him, and this is at a previous stop, on the ways to get off a press. And this is just an example, but took basically the way that he had always learned, as even as an NFL player, I think he was like an 8-year vet at the time, and threw it on its head and said, here's the way we're going to do it now. And I think he used some footage from, you know, everything from a crossover move from basketball with AI to you name it, and basically said, you do this and they will stop, they will never press you again the rest of the game. And I've heard there's a lot of examples of that, that he's worked with various players. Have you seen any examples of that, or am I just barking up the wrong tree on this?
Well, I haven't personally seen anything specific for offensive guys. I mean, a little bit in front of team meetings, but yeah, I would say he's not stuck in a box. Let's put it that way. He's not doing things because this is the way it's always been done. And that's honestly why he probably has the opportunity he has right now as head coach, is because he is not afraid to try something different, or to think that this analogy from this other sport may work better than something that that's always been the way that it's been taught. And I think it's awesome. And I think it's refreshing. And, but yeah, I mean, I think everybody that's been around him would probably agree. I mean, he's not stuck in some, you know, he's not in the middle of the bell curve on everything. You know, he's not afraid to try something new or to continue to explore it. In fact, I feel like that's part of his way of living, is that he's going to continue to unearth new things and continue. It's part of growing. It's just expanding. And I think that's almost feels like a life value of his, from what I can tell.
So on a lighter note, there are always fun stories that come out, and I don't want you to get yourself in trouble or anybody in trouble, but do you have any fun stories from either the preseason or the regular season thus far, just around the facility with the team, you name it?
Yeah, I don't know what I would, I don't know that I have anything, you know, outstanding. I mean, we spend more time with each other than we do with our families during the season. So, you know, there's all sorts of good banter that goes on in the locker room. And you talk to any retired player, that's one of the first things they talk about that they miss, is the locker room. And I think the reason for that is it's probably the least PC environment that still exists in the workforce today, or at least in the U.S. And it's just a wonderful place because guys can kind of be free and it's just, there's no place like it. And also what's great about it is it's as close to a legit meritocracy as there is,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter about anything that we get divided about these days. It's like, if you can help us win, you will be accepted. You're authentic and you can help us win, you will be part of the team. You'll be loved. And that's what's so great about it. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of, there's a pureness to it that is relative to, you know, any other job environment. There's nothing like it. And that's one of the reasons, everybody that I know that's retired talks about it. It's just a great time. It's a great place to be, but it's also, it's even better when you can smell opportunity, like I feel like we are smelling, or have been. And, you know, we just gotta hunker down a little bit, you know, first little bit of adversity here as a team. And, you know, it's an exciting opportunity for sure for all of us.
So last question for you, and this is just a bit of a fun one. And I think I missed you with this one last time. So it's something we've asked of a lot of guests in the past. Now you pull into the Dolphins facility and all your teammates are out in the parking lot and you've got a Spotify or Apple playlist, you name it, playing. What is the song that you absolutely love that is on one of your playlists that you really would get embarrassed if it popped up right in that moment as you pulled in the parking lot, as your teammates are standing around listening?
So I'm a big piano guy, and I'll preface this with, I really wouldn't be embarrassed at all. But I do have some unique taste in music. There's the artist is Ludovico Einaudi. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but anyways, I'm sure you've heard the music. This song is called Experience. But I love listening to piano. Anything that's got a kind of a soulful feel to it. It doesn't necessarily have to be piano. It could be any, it could be rap, it could be country, it could be anything. Okay. But yeah, I've kind of got a pretty broad range of stuff that I could listen to, but piano, no words, just music, and I could listen to it all day. So
I kind of dig that answer, to be honest with you. It's a unique one, and that's part of the fun of this question, is we've gotten a lot of very unique answers through the years, including,
yeah,
I think John Offerdahl sang the Dolphins fight song about three times in a row after I asked
there him. You go.
So that was very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think most guys, when they're getting ready to go hit or play football, a lot of guys, you know, they're trying to get psyched up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stimulus with some of those songs. And I'm kind of opposite. I'm always kind of, the anxiety, don't think of that as a negative term, but like the mm-hmm. getting ready to go perform and the nerves that come along with that. I am that's such a high burn for me on just energy. And so I'm on the opposite side. I'm trying to mellow out and just save as much juice as I can, because then once I get to the field for the 4 hours of game day, I'm kind of sitting on the edge of tilt the whole game.
Yep.
This is different for me. I don't get to go out for a 6 or 7 play drive and just gas my energy out. I'm more like just sitting on the edge of a cliff, like with somebody just pulling me back, waiting to let me go. But I may do that for an hour straight. So it's a totally different sort of energy that's burning. So I'm all about mellowing out for the game.
I was gonna say that Zen out music, basically
the
Phil Jackson mantras, I think.
There you go. There you go.
So yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then so anything that you want to plug before we wrap up here?
No, I can say is you know, I appreciate all the support from fans everywhere. We certainly felt it. I don't know what it was like before I got here, but the energy has been great at the stadium, and you know, it's we can feel it. We can feel the energy, and it's just exciting to be a part of it. And on an individual level, I appreciate all of, you know, I've just felt very, you know, I felt like a lot of good energy from fans that are happy to have me, and it feels good to be appreciated regardless of your role in the team. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody for that. And glad I can come on the show again.
Well, we're glad to have you. And this is a team where, just going, hailing back to the days of Reggie Roby, Dolphins fans tend to appreciate the punter position more than a lot of folks do.
Well, I tell you, it's an honor to be wearing number 4. It's very, very cool that, that they let me wear that number. I know that was Reggie's number, so I don't take that lightly.
Yeah, well, we appreciate having you back, and guys, make sure you follow us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, you name it. We're out on the Fan Sided Network, and if it's not on the right side, it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin Side.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.